topics we have planned are some things that I think will be beneficial to you and to your neighbors, and so hopefully you can come and be a part of that. This afternoon we'll be talking about Help My Unbelief based on Mark 9. If you have a chance to read through Mark 9, where the request was made to the Lord, help my unbelief. What is that about? We'll talk about the context and some application of that. And then tomorrow evening we'll talk about searching for the impossible. That would be one that you would want to bring your friends or neighbors who may not be Christians. If you want to bring them to study, that one and Thursday night, both would be first principle, or at least a lot of first principle stuff. And so be a part of those if you can. Then on Tuesday, we'll talk about watchful toward drifting. A strong church is a church that watches toward drifting. Talk about some trends of drifting, and we'll describe that. That'll be some encouragement for those who are Christians, members of the church. Wednesday, we'll talk about strengthening the hand of sinners. How could we, who are not participating in sin, encourage those who are in sin to continue in sin? How could that be? We'll talk about that on Wednesday. And then we'll close on Thursday by talking about the New Testament church. How do we find the New Testament church? What is the New Testament church? What are its characteristics? How do we go about finding the New Testament church? Hopefully you can bring a friend or a neighbor to be a part of that. Be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26, if you will. And as you're turning there, let me suggest to you that Peter is a disciple that many Christians can identify with. He's one with whom many of us can identify with some of his characteristics. For example, we think about his zeal. He was a man of zeal, and we'd like to think, I've got zeal like Peter. And we look at him as a man of boldness, and we'd like to have the boldness that Peter had, and yet at the same time, he had some problems. He was overconfident. He was impatient. He was impulsive. And there were times he even got in his own way. That he did here and even in our text. But in Matthew chapter 26, he boldly proclaimed his devotion to the Lord. We alluded to that earlier in our study, our previous study, where the Lord said that you would stumble. All of you will be made to stumble. He said, no, not me. And then the Lord said, you'll even deny me three times this very night. And he said, no, I won't deny you. I'll even die for you if I have to, but I will never deny you. And so boldly he proclaimed his devotion to the Lord. And yet when Jesus was arrested, the text says he followed at a distance. Open your Bibles, if you're not already there, to Matthew chapter 26. And look at verse 58. This will be our text for our study this morning. Look at verse 58. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. The text says he followed at a distance. Now, the parallel account in Mark 14, Luke 22 says essentially the same thing. He followed at a distance. John talks about this also in John chapter 18, but John uses the language of saying he stood at the door outside. Peter followed, the text says, at a distance. He followed at a distance. I want us to talk about following at a distance. And I want us to see that following at a distance is just as much a danger for us as it was for Peter. Peter was following the Lord. The text says he was following at a distance. Are you following the Lord at a distance? And could it be that you think, I'm following the Lord at least, but I'm following the Lord at a distance? Four things we're going to see in our study this morning. I want us to focus on the reasons he did that, the dangers of him doing that. Thirdly, the signs that are indicative of the fact that we may be following the Lord at a distance. And then what justification could be cited? If we were to ask Peter, Peter, why did you do that? Now, we know why he did it, and we'll see why in the context. But what did he say, or what would he have said? The text indicates that as well. What justification could he cite for following the Lord at a distance? Let's start with this. Let's start with the reasons for following the Lord at a distance. What reasons could be given for him following the Lord at a distance? Well, the same reason that could be cited for anyone following anyone at a distance. And that is because of a fear of a close association. Let's take Peter, for example, now. Let's go back to our text at verse 58. The text says in verse 58, he followed the Lord at a distance. Go to the verse before. Jesus was arrested, verse 57. He might be too. Same verse. Jesus was on trial. He could be too. Go to the verse after, verse 59. They wanted to kill Jesus. He might be killed too. No wonder he follows at a distance. You see, he begins to see our Lord has been arrested. Our Lord is on trial. They want to kill Jesus. They might put me on trial. They might arrest me, and they might kill me too. So there is the fear of a close association. For us, it very well may be that we're following the Lord at a distance, because if I got any closer, I might be expected to be involved. I don't want to be involved. You know of any Christians who follow the Lord, but they follow at a distance because if they got any closer, they might have to be involved. They don't want to be involved in what's going on. It might be they might be expected to give up some practice or some relationship. You see, if I drew any closer to the Lord, I might be expected to give up some things I'm doing, and I don't want to do that. I like what I'm doing. I might have to give up this relationship of this marriage, or I might have to give up my friends and running with the crowd, and I don't want to do that either. It might be that if I got any closer to the Lord, I would be held to a higher standard and expected to follow that. You see, as long as I'm at a distance, they're not expecting me to do what those who are closer to the Lord are doing. But if I get any closer, they might expect me to live like them. I don't want to do that. And so why would one follow the Lord at a distance? There seems to be a fear of a closer association. But that's not all. Why is it that he's following the Lord at a distance? Perhaps Peter had deceived himself into thinking he's still following. Now remember our text, look at verse 58. The text says he followed at a distance. It did say he was following, didn't it? He's following, but he's following at a distance. He's following, but he just doesn't want to get too close. You see, he's following, but he just don't want to be involved. He was with John after all, was he not? John 18. Wasn't he with his companion John? Verses 15 and 16, but he didn't just go as far as John. So I am following, and it very well may be that we don't really think of ourselves at a distance as much as we do as following the Lord. I'm a follower of the Lord too, you see. I just don't get as carried away with it as you do. I'm following the Lord, you see. I just don't go as often as you do. I'm following the Lord. I'm just not as strict as you are. I'm still following the Lord, though. And we think more of ourselves as followers than we do at being at a distance. But there's something else. Why is it that he would follow the Lord at a distance? And may I suggest to you that thirdly, because perhaps he had ignored the warnings that had been given. You see, Peter had been abundantly warned. He was told in Luke chapter 22, remember the Lord coming to him said, I have prayed for you, Peter, you particular, that your faith fail not. But when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. You know what he just told Peter? I prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail, but your faith's going to fail. It is going to fail. He had been warned, your faith's going to fail. He apparently ignored that. Matthew 26, beginning at verse 31. You remember we read that a moment ago, or alluded to that at least, where the Lord said, you'll be made to stumble. You'll be offended before me. You'll stumble. All of you will. You'll even deny me this very night. He seems to have forgotten all about that. Let's go to Mark's account now. In Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, what we have is a picture of him coming to the realization of what the Lord had said. So turn with me to Mark chapter 14, if you will. Mark chapter 14. In Mark 14, I want you to notice at verse 68. And in verse 68, but he denied it. That is when they said, you're with Jesus, you're also with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're saying. And he went out on the porch and the rooster crowed. The very thing the Lord had told him was going to happen. And the servant girl saw him again and said to those who stood by, this one was with him. He denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean, for your speech shows it. He began to curse and to swear and said, I do not know the man of whom you speak. Now the second time the rooster crowed. What I want you to see now before we go further is he bowed his neck. When the rooster crowed the first time, when he sounded off the first time, that should have sent a shockwave through his system. But he bowed his neck and he denied the Lord again and again. Now when the rooster crowed the second time, verse 72, finally dawned on him. He remembered the words of the Lord where he said, before the rooster crows twice, you deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly, the text said. He finally hit it. On the second crow, it finally hit him. But now it's too late. He'd been ignoring the warning. You stop and think about that. Why is he following the Lord at a distance? The Lord had been telling him, you're going to be offended because of me. You're going to deny me even this very night. And he does it again and again and again. And then finally dawns on him. Now remember what the Lord said. He'd been ignoring the warnings. But there's a fourth reason. He's following the Lord, and he's following the Lord at a distance. But why is he doing that? May I suggest to you, he's doing that because he had forgotten the commitment that he had made. You see, commitment was demanded of all of the disciples. Turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter, and in verse 24. Matthew 16 and in verse 24. Jesus had said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Everyone, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, you're going to have to say no to yourself and come and be my follower. Commitment was demanded of all. We've alluded several times to Matthew chapter 26, 32 to 35, where Peter had boldly proclaimed his commitment to the Lord. I will never deny you. I'll even die for you. I am committed to following you, he said. But for the moment, he forgot all about that commitment. For the moment, he forgot all about, I'll die for you. I'll go with you wherever you go. Do whatever I need to do. But for the moment, he'd forgotten all about that. I want to suggest to you, we make a commitment when we obey the gospel. When we submit ourselves to be baptized into Jesus Christ, we've made a commitment to be followers of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18. That you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You're made free from sin and you became a servant of righteousness. We made a commitment when we became servants of righteousness. We made a commitment to be followers of the Lord, to rise and walk in newness of life. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, Luke 6:46, and do not the things which I say? When we say Jesus is our Lord, that's a commitment. I'll let him rule and guide and guard my life. So why is it that Peter followed at a distance? For the very same reason we often follow at a distance. There's a fear of a close association. There is the deceiving ourselves into thinking at least we're still following, ignoring all the warnings, and then furthermore, we forget about the commitment that we made. Now let's talk about the dangers of that. What's the danger of following? After all, we're still following, aren't we? I may be following at a distance, but at least I'm still following. So what's the danger of following the Lord at a distance? In the case of Peter, I want to suggest to you it led to other sins. Like what? Look at Matthew chapter 26. Go back to our text where we were and look at verse 70. It led to the sin of lying. He's following, verse 58, the Lord at a distance. And then when someone said, you're also with him, aren't you? He said, no, I'm not. He was. And he denied it. He just lied about it. You see, following the Lord at a distance could lead to lying. It did in the case of Peter. It wasn't just any lie. It led to denial of the Lord. Verse 70, verse 72, and verse 74. Three times he said, I don't know the man. I don't know who you're talking. I don't know the man you're talking about. He denounced the Lord. Following the Lord at a distance led to the sin of lying, led to denying who the Lord was. His faith failed. The bottom fell out of his faith, Luke 22, 32. Whatever faith he had, the bottom fell out of it right then. When he said, I don't know who you are. I don't know who he is. I don't know the man. Began to curse and to swear. I don't know who he is. What I'm suggesting to you, my friend, is this. It's not surprising when one who follows at a distance begins to be involved in worldliness. You begin to see someone who pulls away from the Lord. They're still following the Lord, but it's at a distance they follow the Lord. They don't want that close association with the Lord or with his people. It's not surprising at all when we learn they're involved in worldliness. They're involved in dancing. They're involved in drinking. They're dressing immodestly. It's not surprising when they're doing things that they know to be wrong. It's not a big wonder to scratch your head and how could they do that? They're following the Lord at a distance because that leads to other sins, you see. It's not surprising when their language is not becoming. When you hear words that come from their mouth that is not becoming of a child of God, they're following the Lord all right, but at a distance. It leads to other sins. It's not surprising at all when their attitude turns sour. It's not surprising at all that when there's things that they don't know, when you think they understand principles of truth, they understand principles of doctrine, they understand the distinction in God's people and the world. You think they understand and come to find out there's not much about the Bible they really know because they've been following all right, but they've been keeping their distance. It leads to other sins. But let's go further. The danger of following the Lord at a distance is that it leads to other sins, but now you put yourself in a position where it's easy to go even further from the Lord. Go to verse 71 of our text. Same principle is going to be found in Mark 14. Look at verse 71. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him. Same thing is said over in Mark 14 and in verse 68. You see, at a distance, he's already at a distance between him and the Lord. It makes it easier to put even a wider gap. You see, if he was right next to the Lord, then just a few feet from the Lord may excite him. I'm getting away from him, and he wants to get back closer to the Lord. But he's already at a distance. That makes it easy to slip out and go out on the porch, as John's account so acknowledges. And so he makes even further. It's easy for us to lose our faith altogether. If you're following the Lord, and there's a distance between you and the Lord, it's easy to lose your faith altogether. Let's go to the book of Hebrews and notice two or three passages that warn of that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And in verse 12, as you're looking at Hebrews chapter 3, let me remind you, the book is about a people who are discouraged. And as they're under the threat of persecution, some are even ready to throw up their hands and quit. According to chapter 12, the pictures, their knees hanging, their knees becoming weak and their hands hanging down, they're discouraged. And he's telling them, if you put a distance between you and the Lord, it's going to get to the point, easy to get to the point, you give up altogether. Look at verse 12 of chapter 3. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, not just some somewhere, but you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That could happen to me. That could happen to you. Let's go to chapter 6. This is kind of an interlude in the argument that's being made through chapters 1 through 9. He stops and gives this exhortation in chapter 6. What's his exhortation? He gives them encouragement to go on and don't give up and don't quit. So notice what he says beginning at verse 4. It's impossible after we've been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted of the good word of God and powers of the age of come, if they fall away, to renew them again under repentance, since they crucify again to themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. What's he saying? You could easily reach the point of no return where you're not coming back. Let's go one more time to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 26. As he now comes to that encouragement section, chapters 10 to 13, he said, if we willfully sin after we've received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversary. His point is, we could easily reach the point of no return. We could lose our faith altogether. What's the danger of following the Lord at a distance? What's wrong with me not being quite as dedicated as others? And I've got some distance between me and the Lord. It leads to other sins, and it makes it even easier for us to go even further from the Lord. But here's the third thing we want to notice. I know the reasons why he followed the Lord at a distance. We cited four. And I know the dangers. They're multiple. Let's talk about the signs that may indicate one is following the Lord at a distance. You may be wondering, am I following the Lord? I thought I was a follower of the Lord. But could it be that I'm now a follower of the Lord, but I'm at a distance? Could that be? What were things that we saw in Peter that we might look at among us and say, you know what? I have the same signs that Peter had. I have the same problem that Peter had. And I'm following the Lord at a distance. Here's the first. When you warm yourself by the devil's fire. Let's go to Mark 14 now. When you warm yourself by the devil's fire. Let's
Go to Mark's account. We've been looking at Matthew's account. We'll come back to that perhaps a little bit later. Go to Mark 14 now. Mark 14 and in verse 54. This is the parallel account to our story in Matthew chapter 26. That Peter was warning himself, the text says, by the fire. Look at verse 54. But Peter followed him at a distance. There's our phrase. Right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now let's look at Luke chapter 22. I'm going to make a context comparison in Luke chapter 22, so turn over there with me if you will. Luke 22 and verse 55. Luke 22 verse 55 says that when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. I want you to get the picture now that Peter is warming himself by the fire. We'll talk about whose fire that is in a moment. But what I want you to notice, look at verse 59. This was a continued association. This was not a brief association. Look at verse 59. Then after about an hour had passed. After an hour had passed. You see, this is not a case where they built a fire and Peter's cold and he goes over here and he warms up about 2 or 3 seconds and then he goes back close to the Lord. He goes over here and he warms himself by the devil's fire, and after an hour had passed. What I'm getting for you is this is a continued, not a brief association. He's not bothered at being among the enemies. These are the enemies of God. These are the enemies of Christ. And he's warming himself by their fire. And he continued to do that. Reminds me of Lot that pitched his tent toward Sodom. Here's the lesson to be learned. And that is, when you are among and around a world of sin and warming yourself by the devil's fire, you're following the Lord at a distance. Do you find yourself warming yourself and you're spending time and a continued amount of time among those who are the enemies of God, among those who have no use for the Christ, those who have disdain for the Lord? When we're continued to associate and be around the people in the world of sin, we may be following the Lord at a distance. But here's a second thing. This is quite interesting here. Same fire, same problem. But when we reach the point we'd rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord, we're following the Lord at a distance. Now get the picture. Let's go to John chapter 18 now, and in verse 18. Peter warmed himself by the enemy's fire. John 18 and in verse 18. See whose fire this was. Then the servants and the officers had made a fire of coals and stood there, for it was cold. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, Peter's warming himself by the enemy's fire. Why did he do that? Well, you see, to identify with the Lord would have made him uncomfortable. Aren't you with Jesus? Remember, Jesus is on trial. They're wanting to kill Jesus. You want to be with the Lord? Aren't you with him? That would have made him uncomfortable. It was cold outside, so he sought to be comfortable with the enemies. So therefore, he'd rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord. You see, when we're just as close, maybe even closer to the world than we are with our brethren, we may be following the Lord at a distance. You see, when I identify with the church and identify with God's people, I take my stand for truth. It's uncomfortable. I don't want that. I'd rather be comfortable with the world and my association with the world than to be uncomfortable with God's people. That was the case with Peter. When that's the case, we're following the Lord at a distance. But furthermore, what are some signs that we might be following the Lord at a distance? Warming ourselves by the devil's fire, when we'd rather be comfortable with the world than uncomfortable with the Lord. Thirdly, may I suggest a very careless attitude. How so? Well, Peter sat among the enemies, and he doesn't seem to be bothered at all, does he? He denied the Lord once, then twice. He sits among the enemies, and he's not bothered.
It's as if he's saying this. It's as if Peter is saying, you know what, I'm okay, I'm not affected, I can handle this, this is no big deal. He knew who the Lord was. He knew what the Lord had said, and he's over here warming himself by the devil's fire, doesn't seem to be bothered. Stayed there for an hour. And then when they come and ask him, who are you? Aren't you with him?
No. Did it again.
And again. That describes a careless attitude. You see, if you find yourself warming yourself by the devil's fire, and you find yourself more comfortable with the world than you are with God's people, and you find that you're developing this careless attitude, sin is not a big deal, I've got this, it's okay, I'm not bothered, it's not as bad as you think. Maybe I am beginning to follow the Lord at a distance. Finally, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the justification. If we could go back in time and hit rewind and go back and talk to Peter and call him off to the side and say, well, Peter, I want to know, why did you do that? I doubt he'd say, well, I didn't want to be with the Lord. Why did you do that? At least at the moment, if we could call him over and say, Peter, you're following the Lord at the distance, whisper in my ear and tell me, why are you doing this? I think he'd tell us this. You see, the reason he would give was to see the end. Look at verse 58. Go back to your text. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. What does that mean? See the outcome, New American Standard International says. Peter, why are you following the Lord at a distance? It doesn't give so much an explanation of what the distance is. But why he was doing any following at all, he wanted to see the outcome. He should have known. He should have known. Because the Lord had already told him the outcome. The Lord said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. And I'll be killed. Remember that? This is not new ground. You're not plowing new ground. He'd already been told that. He knew that. He should have known the outcome. We're going to Jerusalem, they're going to crucify me, they're going to kill me, and the third day I'll rise again. He'd been told that. He should have known the outcome. Linsky says we always invent good reasons for doing what we ought not to do. He's right about that. We're good at inventing reasons. Well, I know I shouldn't have done this, but here's my explanation. I know the Bible says that's wrong, but here's why I did it. We always invent good reasons for doing what we ought not to do. See, he wanted to know without being apart. He didn't want to be right in the middle there with Jesus, but I want to know the outcome. And I'm going to stand back and I'm going to watch and I'm going to see the outcome of that. You see, often we're more spectators than disciples. You see, justification for following at a distance is we want to know a little of what's going on. And we're following more out of curiosity than conscience. Have you ever known some Christians that they didn't seem to be real dedicated, but they seemed to be more curious about what's going on than they have conscience about what's going on? Matthew Henry said this, and I like this quotation. Matthew Henry said, he followed him, but it was only to see the end, led more by his curiosity than by his conscience. He attended as an idle spectator rather than as a disciple, a person concerned. Note it is more our concern to prepare for the end, whatever it may be, than to curiously inquire what the end will be. The event is God's, the duty is ours. I say amen. Well, Peter followed the Lord at a distance, the text says. We've considered reasons why he did that. Why did he do that? What was the problem? And then we've talked about the dangers that are created by so doing, the signs that may indicate we're following the Lord at a distance. Maybe we're the ones that are guilty of following the Lord at a distance. And then furthermore, the justification that could have been cited or that he might have cited for following the Lord at a distance. Are you a follower of the Lord? If you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of the Lord. Would you become one this morning? Would you come believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Would you repent of your sins, acknowledge your faith, be buried in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins? It may be there's an erring child of God who once followed the Lord, but you're now following at a distance. Would you not come back to the Lord even this very morning? If you're subject in any way, would you come while together we stand and while we sing?